As we get rid of deception and we take into our lives the responsibilities that we have of seeing truth and walking in that, that it comes from that we are set free. Well, I then want you to take this to the next logical step, which is what we're looking at here today. Living forward because Christ has set you free. Once you have accepted that truth and that reality of Jesus Christ in your life, and setting aside the deceptions of the evil one, setting aside the deceptions of your own mind, and taking responsibility for who you are and moving forward, you begin to experience that freedom in Christ because you become His as you claim Him. Amen? Well, today I want you to understand something. Christ wants us to live forward, not backwards. So that's where we are today. That's where I want to take us today. In 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 14, as you are already prepared, let us read the word. Follow along with me. For the love of Christ controls us, having concluded this, that one died for all, therefore all died. And he died for all, so that they who live might no longer live for themselves, but for him who died and rose again on their behalf. Therefore, from now on, we recognize no one according to the flesh. Even though we have known Christ according to the flesh, yet now we know him in this way no longer. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creature. The old things passed away. Behold, new things have come. Now all these things are from God, who reconciled us to himself through Christ and gave us the ministry of reconciliation. Namely, that God was in Christ reconciling the world to himself, not counting their trespasses against them, and he has committed to us the word of reconciliation. Therefore, we are ambassadors for Christ, as though God were making an appeal through us. We beg you on behalf of Christ, be reconciled to God. He made him who knew no sin to be sin on our behalf, so that we might become the righteousness of God in him. Now, there's a lot there that I need to unpack some of, because this is a truth that all of us need to hold to. This is a statute. This is the Word of God. This is a beautiful doctrine of our salvation that we need to know and we need to proclaim in our lives. In Christ Jesus, the past is no more. The old has gone and the new has come. Isn't that the way we know this? We know this because Jesus Christ has taken away all our sin. Whatever you did in the past, if you have confessed it unto the Lord, how many of you have forgotten half of the bad stuff you've done in life? Now, I'm going to ask you a question. When you accepted the Lord and you said, Father, forgive me of all my sins, do you think it meant to him only the ones you could remember? No, because God knows we are broken. He knows we can't remember it all. But so does the evil one. And there are times, 10 years from now, he'll remind you of something that happened 25 years ago that you completely and totally forgot about, and it puts you down because you're thinking, oh my goodness, I've never confessed that to the Lord. No. When you took Christ into your life, when you literally, truly, wholly accepted Christ into your life and made him Lord of all that you are, everything from the past is gone. It is no more. God says, as far as the east is from the west, so far have I removed your sins from me, and I will remember them no more. Now, husbands and wives, how many of us have forgiven our partners for something? And the next time something goes wrong, we happen to remember it. Yet again. Aren't you glad God doesn't do that? And that's what we need to remember. God does not do, he does not throw up our past in our face, because God wants us to live forward. Everything that is done in the past is gone. It has moved away from us. It is as if it has never happened before. Don't listen to the evil one's accusations, all right? We need to understand. Satan knows us, and he knows us very well, and his minions know us very well. And he can plant thoughts in our consciousness that will make us hold to the past. Forgive yourself. Please forgive yourself. God has forgiven you in Christ Jesus. If you have truly applied the blood of Christ to your life, God has forgiven you in Christ Jesus. And we now therefore have the ministry of reconciliation, which means what? That means we are coming close to God. We are being brought back to God. We are coming back to the image of Christ, and we are to be teaching that to others. So therefore, we need to forgive others. We need to forgive ourselves. And this is so important if we're going to live forward, because anything that you have not forgiven or anyone that you have not forgiven is going to force you to live right where you are. You can't move forward because sin has you. Because remember, Jesus taught us when he taught us the Lord's Prayer that if we do not forgive anyone, so too are we not forgiven. So we're stuck where we were. Now, are you someone? Are you anyone? Yes, you are. So you need to forgive yourself from your past and move on. You know, I think it's funny. I'm a pastor now 25 years. 25 years I'm a pastor now. And I'm talking in the ministry, licensed or ordained, 25 years. Before that, I was a Christian for many years, okay? And it's funny because while I was a Christian, you know, my family thought nothing of it. But boy, when I became a pastor, when I said I was going into the ministry, all of a sudden I was some kind of nutcase. We know where you came from. We know who you were. Do you think 25 years later as a minister that they would forget those things? I love Brother Wendell's response. That was quick. Johnny on the spot. No. 25 years later, I am walking this life. I am living this life. And I can talk to my sister. I can talk to one of my brother-in-laws. I, you know, whatever. And it's just like the past was right there, and I'm still guilty of it. And I just got to throw my hands up and walk away. Because that is not who I am anymore. Was it who I was? Yes. Was, is dead and gone and buried in the ground. As Christ took it down, he came up without it, and so better you realize that's your truth too. Let it there. Don't let anybody else dig it up, because we are to live forward, and the only way we're going to be able to live forward is to let it buried. And in that, we find the power of God unto the reconciliation of so many others. That's what we just read here, that Jesus Christ became sin on our behalf so that we might become the righteousness of God. You are still becoming that righteousness as we move forward. Now, does that mean we're perfect? So when everybody looks at us, they're going to see a perfect Christian, right? No, they're going to see a Christian in process. All right, we are a church in process. We are moving forward because we do not reach that eternal state until the day we are called up into the clouds to meet the Lord in the air and we are changed in the twinkling of an eye. Lest you already have slept in Christ Jesus, then you get to get there first. And in that day, we will be changed. We will be whole. We will be holy. And there will be no sin in us. But for now, we have to struggle a little bit. How many of you struggle a little bit with sin in your lives, with attitude in your lives? I see one hand went up. Yeah, I asked you to admit your stuff. Because when you're not ashamed before God, God's not ashamed before men of you. And it's the progress, it's the process by which we move forward and we help others move forward. We sang that wonderful song. It says that we're going to show our scars. That's our testimony, brothers and sisters. How do you know God's real? By how he has lived his life in you. And you need to tell other people about that. I'm going to pick on Jim over here. I love going up and taking my vehicle up or just going up with Brother Jim. Because I know it's a two-hour talk session, you know. And we are just sharing and chewing things up. And it's so amazing because we are not the same people we used to was, are we? We are changed. But it's so amazing when we hear the story of how God has transformed us and the person we're yet becoming and how we want to encourage others to come to that place. And sometimes it takes years, doesn't it, Brother Jim? Didn't you tell me you were praying for that one gentleman for 15 years? But guess what? It paid off because he came to the Lord. This gentleman came to 15 years. Was that a worthwhile investment? You better believe that was a worthwhile investment. Christ has invested 60 years in me at this point. Well, soon to be 60 years. And he spread wide his arms and said the same thing about the whole world if they'll accept him. Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. When we think about what it means to live forward, it's looking at who we are and concluding that one died for all, therefore all have died. We have died to what? We have died to sin. And we are alive in Christ, who is the righteousness of God. Therefore, let us move forward. Let us not go back. We need to live forward. Turn in your Bibles to Colossians chapter 3. Colossians chapter 3. And we're going to be in verses 1 through 10. Colossians chapter 3, verses 1 through 10. The word of the Lord says to us from the first verse of chapter 3 in the book of Colossians, therefore, if you have been raised up with Christ, I'm not going to compete with that. I think the Lord's trying to tell us, pay attention to this scripture. What's that? Oh, yeah, if you're out there on internet land, I don't know if you can hear this over the microphones. We actually have church right next to a fire station, and the fire sirens are going off right now. And for me to compete over that in this auditorium, even though the doors are now shut, it's still just too loud. So we're simply waiting. We've got one more round to go. It goes three, and then we'll start up again. So we got one more to go. And it sounds like it's almost done, and then it comes right back up. You know what? I may have been wrong. I think it went down. I think it only did two this time around. All right. Praise you, Jesus. Be safe out there as you go out into this world for the firemen and the EMTs, whoever's going out. Lord, send your protection, not only on them, but to whom they are going. May your mercies go with them, and may you provide that protection, that reality of who you are in their lives, which is part of what we're talking about this day. Amen. From chapter 3, verse 1 in Colossians. Therefore, if you have been raised up with Christ, keep seeking the things above where Christ is, seated at the right hand of God. Set your mind on the things above, not on the things that are on earth. For you have died and your life is hidden with Christ in God. When Christ, who is our life, is revealed, then you also will be revealed with him in glory. Therefore, consider the members of your earthly body as dead to immorality, impurity, passion, evil desires, and greed, which amounts to idolatry. For it is because of these things that the wrath of God will come upon the sons of disobedience. And in them you also once walked when you were living in them. But now you also put them all aside: anger, wrath, malice, slander, and abusive speech from your mouth. Do not lie to one another, since you laid aside the old self with its evil practices and have put on the new self, who is being renewed to the true knowledge according to the image of the one who created him. Brothers and sisters, I want you to understand, this scripture is talking about us from verse 4. What does it say? It is talking about us. It says, when Christ, who is our life, is revealed. What is that? That is the rapture of the church. Okay? When he is revealed, he's not going to be revealed to the whole world. He's going to be revealed to us first. And then we will be revealed, what? With him in glory. We will be changed at that time. But until that time, we are to live a certain way. And that is what this is talking about. This is not something that you wait until you get there. We've got to work it out here as best we can. And in that, then he gives us these precepts and tells us what we're to walk away from and what we're to stay away from and what we're to continue to remember. Okay? I want you to think about something. How many times have you gotten angry about something and spouted something out in a knee-jerk reaction, and as soon as it came out your mouth, you were like, "Oh, I shouldn't have said that." Am I the only one that does that stuff? No, I didn't think so. So I look at it and I say to myself, I am still in process here. And again, you all know me. You know what I teach you. This is progressive sanctification. God is going to allow you to mess up. He's going to allow circumstances to come that you get to choose what you're going to do. And it amazes me, because when I first became a Christian, I would do dumb stuff and it would take me months to realize I did a dumb thing. Then as I went further in my Christian walk, it became less. Instead of being 3 months until I repented from it was 3 weeks. Then a little bit later, it was 3 days. Then a little bit later, it was 3 hours. Then a little bit later, it was 3 minutes. And a little bit later, it was 3 seconds. And then it was instantaneous. It would start coming out my mouth, and I would stop. And now there are times when it doesn't even come out my mouth. My heart grabs a hold of it right away, because I know how stupid rich dubs can be. And we have to allow ourselves to be changed by that process, because we are being renewed to that image of Christ Jesus, as we've just read here, because we are that image only as we apportion it to ourselves. Okay? I want you to understand that. I'm going to say something here that I need you to grab a hold of, because our world understands what it means to be transformed, to be disassociating with what you actually are in your physicalness and your sin, and picking up something otherworldly. What do I mean by that? Pastor, where are you going? How many of you have heard of transgenderism? That is right from the pit of hell. That is people being lied to by demonic entities, and they are believing what these entities are telling them. This is a very spiritual battle, people. And you are not what you seem to be. But when God transforms us, he allows us to see who we are, sinners saved by grace, to transform us into what he says we were created to be from the very beginning, which is a sinless image of God. And we know we won't achieve it until that great and fateful day when we are changed. But we're to be working on it. Our world understands these things very well, because our world allows those lies to come. We have people here today. How many of you have ever heard of the furries? Okay, there are people that identify as cats and dogs and bears, and you know, and they literally dress up and play the parts. And you know, we've got children right now in school that they want litter pans in the restrooms, so these people, these young children, can use the litter pans because they identify as cats. Some of you are looking at me like, you're crazy. No, I'm not. You don't believe me? Google it. You know, everything on the internet's true, right? I'm going to tell you right now, we need to be transformed. Our world needs to be transformed, but it is a righteous transformation unto truth, unto health, unto wholeness. And that's where we need to be reconciling the world unto God. We need to remember, we are ambassadors. And in that, we need to be those teachers. Oh, no, wait a minute, Pastor. I didn't sign up for that. Yes, you did. Because all you need to do is live your life truly in Christ in front of the world, and they will see who you are, whose you are, and you become a teacher simply by merit of place. I'm not telling you you have to do anything differently than live your life in Christ openly and unashamedly. And that is what we're speaking of. Live forward, okay? Unto the rapture, because that great and faithful day is getting closer and closer and closer. You know, the people of the ancient days long to see these things that we're looking into right now. All right? We need to understand we are that close. And I can tell you, I think I heard the door creak open just the other day. He's on his way. He's just doing a slow walk right now. But when he gets here and says, now, what does the scripture say? As in the twinkling of an eye. I'm talking instantaneous. That's why I'm telling you right now, choose you this day. You know, there are folks that say, well, you know, I got time, and so I'm going to have my fun now. You have no idea what is going to happen in the next second. I can remember when I had my 5 heart attacks, okay? Sitting on a gurney. They had just shot radioactive dye into my foot. I was talking to the doctor, and it was like that. You have no idea. None of us do. You can be standing in the shower 1 minute and standing in glory the next. You can be taking a nice nap on your sofa and open your eyes in heaven. We need to understand. We don't know the day nor the hour, do we? That comes for us as well as for the coming of the Christ. We do not know the day nor the hour, but we need to live every moment forward. We cannot be living backwards. We cannot be looking back. We cannot allow the evil one to drag us backwards into these lies, and we need to help the world move forward because they are being held where they are. Do you know when you're stuck in sin, you're stuck right where you are? You cannot move forward. You do not move forward. How many of you know people that are in sin situations and you swear they haven't aged? I used to have a dear friend years ago. He started into drugs when he was about 17, 18 years old, and it got really bad. And till we were in our 30s, he was still living in his parents' basement doing drugs. Never had a job, never worked. He did not age mentally. He aged physically, but he was stuck where he was. And it's also a scientific fact. This is something that we know through alcoholism and drug abuse. The doctors have said mentally a person stops growing where the addiction has begun. When it reaches the point of addiction, that person no longer mentally or sociologically ages. They're stuck there. They cannot move forward. This is a spiritual world. We need to understand. We become slave to sin, and it holds us where we are. We cannot move forward. But in Christ Jesus, when we are set free, we can move forward toward that goal, which is the revelation of Christ and the revelation of us in glory. What a day that will be. So begin living forward. Don't let the past hold you. Live forward in Christ Jesus. I want you to understand that the earthly things of this world, they amount to nothing. Turn in your Bibles to Philippians chapter 3. Philippians chapter 3. It's just back a couple pages from here in Colossians. Philippians chapter 3. This is the Apostle Paul speaking to us, and many of us know these scriptures. And we're going to begin in the seventh verse here in Philippians 3. And we're only going to read three verses, 7, 8, and 9. Because it's a truth that I need us to understand. And we put so much weight on the things of this world, on the physicalities that are here. And God wants us to understand, man, get your eyes off of these things, because this is not our world. We are otherworldly people. We are literally storing up treasures for ourselves in heaven. There is a mansion in heaven waiting for you. There is a life in heaven waiting for you. And we need to remember, we're just visiting here. We're just visiting here. We're on vacation. No, we're not on vacation. We're on a vocation to win people to Christ once we come to Christ ourselves. From verse 7, it says, but whatever things were gained to me, again, Philippians chapter 3, verse 7, whatever things were gained to me, those things I have counted as loss for the sake of Christ. More than that, I count all things to be loss in view of the surpassing value of knowing Jesus Christ my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things and count them but rubbish, so that I may gain Christ and may be found in him, not having a righteousness of my own derived from the law, but that which is through faith in Christ, the righteousness which comes from God on the basis of faith. You and I need to understand this is a love relationship that God wants us to come into, and he places faith in our lives. Faith to believe, faith to receive, faith to work, faith to walk, faith to live. And as we live in that, the things of this world simply fall away. We consider them but rubbish. You know, how many of us need a house to live in? That's the truth. How many of us need a vehicle to get around in this world? Okay, that's pretty much the truth. You know, we can walk, but you're really limited, right? There are things that we need, but there are also other things we don't need. But the reality is, when we think about putting these things before God, now they need to leave. They need to go away completely and totally. Because if our hope is in the things of this world, we're lost already. And is that not what this world chases after? They want the things of this world, the here and the now. Brothers and sisters, I don't know about you, but the Lord has taught me something that I really love. Delayed gratification. Delayed gratification. I need things here, and God's going to provide them for me, but they are not my end-all of all. If I make these things my end-all of all, when I die, what is there left for me? Absolutely nothing, because I can't take any of that stuff with me. But if I am living for Christ Jesus, if I am living forward, there is for me in heaven in store a treasure. And that is what Paul is talking about here. The things of this earth became rubbish to him, that he may somehow attain to the resurrection of the Christ. Because he knows on the other side, all that stuff, everything that's in heaven, and I don't even get to see it. None of us get to see it until we get there. But when we get there, do you think God's going to disappoint us? No, he is not going to disappoint us. We are his children, his beloved children. He gave up his life. Jesus Christ gave up his life that we may know life. Do you think when we get there we're going to be paupers? I can kid you all. You know, I just got an email from one of our dear brothers, and he says, you know, Pastor, I really don't think there's going to be a smoking section in heaven because you can have fire without smoke. And it's, I laugh because I use that metaphorically, all right? Because to be in the smoking section of heaven is going to be better than to be seated at the right hand of Satan in hell. You're in heaven. You're in God's presence for all eternity. If I have a choice, I'd like to be a little further up the line. You know, it's just like the accommodations we live in today. God gives me that choice. He's giving you that choice. Where are you going to live? Are you going to live forward, or are you going to live where you are and be stuck? That when you get there, there's nothing there for you. That's what the smoking section is all about, okay? There's very little reward. You're there, and you know what? To roll around in the grass of heaven is better than to roll around on the right-hand side of Satan in hell. But wouldn't you like to have one of those mansions in heaven? Now, we don't work for the rewards, okay? That's not why we do this. We do this by the love of God. What's our mantra? What do we know, people? Love God, love others, and go. Please say that. Love God, love others, and go. Today, we're going to get an opportunity to do that with our prayer walk. We're here today to love God. In just an hour and a half or so, we're going to get to go love some others by going with the gospel into our neighborhood. I pray some of you are going to show up at 1 o'clock, that we can go out there and truly show the love of Christ. Pray with these people. We don't ask anything from them. In fact, we want to do something for them. We want to give them something, the hope of Jesus Christ. And that's being ministers of reconciliation. That gets us all the way back to Corinthians, where we understand that God wants us to be this new creature. The old is gone. Stop listening to the evil one. Stop listening to your own self. But you don't know the things I've done. Yeah, neither does God anymore. Would you stop putting yourself down? Jesus Christ has raised you up. And if God has raised you up, who are you to put yourself down? Would you start believing the truth? Stop allowing the lies to control you and be set free. Because when you are free indeed. That means the whole world is open to you. Everything is open to you. Next week, I'm going to preach another sermon here on the freedom that we have. Three of them here, okay? Three of them here about the freedom that we have. Because I want us to understand, we are coming into a time right now in our society. How many of you are watching what's going on? They're talking about rationing diesel fuel on the East Coast, beginning the rationing of diesel fuel on the East Coast. Do you know what that's going to do? Brothers and sisters, that means the trains aren't going to be running. That means the boats aren't going to be running. That means the trucks aren't going to be running. If trains, boats, and trucks don't run, what happens to our economy? All right, come on. It's being written for us. If you're not watching what is going on, how many of you know right now, okay? How many of you know right now, the 18th of May, what's going to happen at the UN? How many of you know what's going on? What am I talking about? I'm talking about the guy in the White House giving authority to the UN through the WHO to take over the sovereignty of this nation. Have any of you read that? Have any of you been looking at that? How many of you know this stuff is coming? Wow. You need to start looking. We are about to lose our sovereignty. And it's being given away by our government, by our deep state government. If you think I'm joking, again, Google it. It's out there, but the mainstream media is not telling you about it because they want it to happen without you knowing. Rand Paul just spoke on the floor about it, and he went at it and at it and at it for some time. How many of you saw that? How many of you heard that? I found out about it a week ago. But what I did not find out until last night was there was actually a petition for you and I to go out there and say, hey, this is not right. It's not been voted on by our Congress. The president's powers do not allow him to give away the sovereignty of the United States. I think the Constitution has something to say about that. They put it out there with a 10-hour notice before the end of it because they had to put it out that you know, oh, hey, if you don't want this to happen, you have the right to sign this petition and we'll consider it if there gets enough signatures. But they told no one. Oh, but it was out there. How many of us are watching what's out there? We're just trying to get on with our lives. Can I hear an amen on that? Because it's getting bad. But brothers and sisters, what I'm saying here is this. Once these things are gone, we can't go back. We need to live forward. Whatever forward is. Because I do not fear what this world brings, because I know where I'm going, and I know that I need to live forward. I need to live for Christ. You need to live for Christ. No matter what has been, God can see through all that, but we need to live forward unto the day of His appearing, and in that day, we will appear before Him. That's the rapture of the church. It's coming. Are you ready? I pray not, because we still have work to do. Can I get an amen? Not only in our own lives, but in our community. And I pray you'll walk with me. I pray you'll walk with the Lord, because it's all about Him. And in Him, we have our being, both now and forevermore. Amen? Pray with me. Father God, we thank You so much for the word that You have given us. And Lord, as we come to You in prayer, I am going to turn to Jeremiah because I want to read this last word that everyone in Your hearing, Lord, may know the truth that You have already spoken this from Your word, from Jeremiah, and in that we have Your promise of eternity. We have Your promise of sustaining grace. We have the guarantee that You have heard our prayers as we have heard Your voice. From the 19th verse, the 15th chapter, thus saith the Lord, if you return, then I will restore you. Before me you will stand, and if you extract the precious from the worthless, you will become my spokesman. They, for their part, may turn to you, but as for you, you must not turn to them. Then I will make you to this people a fortified wall of bronze, and though they fight against you, they will not prevail over you, for I am with you to save you and deliver you, declares the Lord. So I will deliver you from the hand of the wicked, and I will redeem you from the grasp of the violent. That is Your word, O Lord, and we hold fast to it in Christ Jesus. Amen.
You have been listening to a Bible teaching from the Heart of Christ Church. You can find us on the web at www.theheartofchristchurch.com. If you have found benefit in listening to this message, you can send us an email from our contact page, or if you would like to donate or write to us, do so at P.O. Box 1011, Quentin, PA 17083.